thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast, syndicated out of San Francisco and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our great pleasure to welcome to the show our friend Ken Korak, the voice of the Oakland A's, and who's making some time for us. This is a very difficult time because his good friend and colleague, Ray Fosse, passed away yesterday, who we all knew, we all appreciated. And Ken, when first of all, did you know that Ray was sick? Because most of us found out in August that he had been battling with cancer for more than a decade.
No, in fact, Rick, he continued to work, as you know. I mean, we did a game with him the 3rd or 4th of August, and then he left the booth at that point. And so, you know, Ray is a pretty private guy, and I really respect that, Rick. So, and then obviously he put out a statement, and the A's also put one out indicating that he had been battling cancer for that long. You know, we knew that he had had, I believe he had had a bout with prostate cancer about 16 years before that. So it matches up with the timeline, Rick, but I hadn't really talked to him about that after that. Mm-hmm. And so I think the suddenness of it, we knew he was, obviously once the announcement was made that he was stepping away from the booth, it was very clear that he was, you know, dealing with a significant medical issue. But we did not know the extent of it, and certainly the suddenness of it, I think, caught us all by surprise for sure.
There's no doubt. I mean, in my mind, I was kind of hoping, almost naively assuming, it would be sort of like what Dwayne Kuiper did, you know, step away, get chemo, whatever it is, come back. And because Ray, as you know, he was just strong as an ox. You know, I didn't think of him in any other way.
Absolutely, and I don't think he was going to give in to anything. And he was just, you know, Rick, he was a tough old catcher. And that's the best way that I can describe him. And I think he just wanted to keep working. And so, you know, we're really not sure what happened in terms of the extent of his illness, other than to know that it was one opponent that he couldn't defeat.
Yeah, and if you ever shook Ray's hand, people out there, you'd see his fingers had been mangled from so many foul tips and such things. And he loved his catchers. And he, you know, I've learned a lot about pitching over the years from, like, listening to Mike Kruko, but no one taught me more about catching and framing and dealing with umpires. And if you were a catcher, he had a little twinkle in his eye for you, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, I always kidded him that he was the president of the Catchers Union or the Catchers Association even long after he had retired. So he had a soft spot, and it wasn't unusual before a game to see him down there talking not only to the A's catchers but the opponent's catchers too. So there was a brotherhood there for sure, but it also was, I think it made for great radio and for TV when he was on TV, because he could really, as you know, Rick, he could take you inside the dynamic that existed between the pitcher and the catcher.
Yeah, and you know, when I worked for the A's, you know, doing TV games all through the 90s, and then finally, you know, being part of the pre and post for part of 9 seasons, I love the times just sitting in the dugout before a game and just talking to Ray about whatever. But I would always learn something. You know, a lot of people would just talk about the weather or golf or whatever. He would always tell me something that was a little bit poignant, and I think it's because he just was always thinking baseball. You know, it's just once he was there, he just was almost like he was getting ready to play himself.
Well, it wasn't just when he was there. He was thinking baseball, I think, 24 hours a day. And like I said, nobody loved the game any more than Ray, and he really worked hard on it, Rick, and that was one of the things that I've mentioned in the time since we learned of his passing yesterday afternoon, and that is that he never rested on his laurels as a former player. He didn't show up and say, you know, I played, so I'm good as far as the broadcasts were concerned. He really worked hard at it, and he worked hard to become a broadcaster, not just a former player. So he was incredibly diligent. He'd go on the road, and you'd see this giant briefcase that he would carry around, piece of luggage that contained notebooks, voluminous, notebooks that had stats and figures, information, notes that he took, impressions that he made of certain games or situations, and he logged all that, and he could refer to that. So, you know, he was really studious when it came to things like that.
Over the years, when people would call Ray a homer, I always said that he wasn't a homer. He just loved the team. And the way I would explain that was, if you really listen to Ray, yeah, he got excited and he wanted the A's to win and he loved the A's. But if somebody should have caught a ball, he didn't rake them over the coals. He would say he should have had it, or he shouldn't have tagged up on that, or he overthrew the cutoff man. I don't think he was a homer like Midwest style of being a homer. He just loved the team. But he would point out when guys did something incorrectly.
Well, there's no question about that. And I think it also goes to what I just talked about with his preparation. Because he didn't just prepare for our guys, he prepared for the other team. So if we were playing a game against, you know, name the team, he had good information about their starting pitcher and the way the A's would try to maybe approach facing that pitcher. So he had a great depth of knowledge when it came not just to the A's, but to baseball in general. And I think that also I go back to, you know, when Ray broke in and working with Bill and Lon, and, you know, one of the things that Bill always said was you have to give the opposition its due. And Bill would bristle when he would hear a call by another announcer that was that involved the team other than that announcer's team. And Bill always said, you know, you wanted to be enthusiastic no matter whether the play was going for your team or the opponent's. And I think some of that, because that was kind of the mantra that I think, you know, Ray understood when he joined the broadcast team back in the 80s.
A couple more questions for Ken Korak, voice of the Oakland A's. Those days with Bill and Lon, and then you and Bill, and then you and Vince, maybe a non-TV day, whatever it was, I would sometimes, you know, you'd see Ray sitting in between you guys, and we know that press box is a tight squeeze. You know, the friendship that you guys had over the years, and I'm going to try to indulge us. Do you have a story or two about Ray that you could share with us?
Well, I don't know necessarily a story other than to say that he was always incredibly supportive of me. Mm-hmm. And from the time when I joined the broadcast in 96 and replacing Lon, who was one of my heroes, and yet, you know, Ray never treated me like an outsider. He never big-leagued me. Mm-hmm. He welcomed me into the booth, even though he and Lon were extremely close, were great friends. And so, you know, how do you put a value on that? It really helps with your fan base, and it kind of boosts you from the standpoint that maybe it adds a little kind of credibility to or acceptance to what you're doing. And, you know, the other thing was that we shared so many big moments, Rick, and that's one of the things that I was reflecting on yesterday. You think of, and he, you know, he probably at least 75% of his time was spent doing television. Mm-hmm. Although we were lucky enough to get him on radio quite a bit over the last 26 years, but obviously the networks take over once the postseason begins. Mm-hmm. And so Ray was with us all the time. And you think of the A's going to 11 postseasons beginning in 2000. He was there for every game, 20-game winning streak. He and Bill literally did the 20th game on radio. So we shared a lot, and it was just really special. It was almost like playing in a band. When you work with Ray, and I'm sure Vince would concur, and Bill would if he were still with us, that just had a kind of a feel for where he was. And I loved having that feeling. I didn't have to think about whether Ray was going to come in. And, you know, after several years, you kind of develop that sense of chemistry, I guess. I kind of felt it was there from the beginning. So those were really special moments to share with Ray over the years.
Yeah, no, you're right. You guys had a tremendous chemistry, and as far as being accepting, you know, he was so generous to me, and he knew that when I was a kid, I was an A's fan, and I looked up to him, and we would talk about the old times, and I was just thinking about, you know, just his generosity. There'd be so many times I would be on the field, and then I would be trying to get a pregame guest for the next day, and there was Ray, and I'd go, Ray, you got 5 or 10 minutes, and he always said, yeah, you know, he just
yeah.
I almost took him for granted a little bit.
Yeah, and you mentioned that interviews, and this is something that I haven't really talked about, you know, since yesterday, was that for years, I mean, decades, he did the A's pregame show. And A's warm-up was his show. So if it was like a 105 game, At 12:45, Ray came on, and he did a two-part interview every day, all season long, 162 games. And he kept every interview that he did. And I think over the years, he's gotten them into, like, he's transferred them into more of a digital form. And, God, I hope that, and I'm sure that his wife, Carol, and the kids, the grandkids will keep those, because that kind of stuff belongs in a baseball museum. Literally, I mean, literally hundreds of interviews, thousands of hours of interviews that he did. And I'm not sure you saw a lot of ex-players go down and do that and put in that time. And it didn't matter whether it was an ace player or the opponent's player. And it was incredibly insightful, Rick. I used to tell him after that, you know, I learned so much. Kind of goes to what you were saying about learning something from him. He was a wonderful interviewer, and he learned that skill. And that was something that was a special thing that I thought that he really brought to our broadcast on a daily basis.
No doubt about it. Last question for you, Ken. As you know, baseball is a sport where if it's 14-2 in the third inning, you're going to have to spin some yarns. And I thought he was so good at that, whether it was Chef Rodney or whatever was going on, you know, dealing with the right field bleacher guys. He was very playful as well. Because you look at him, you think he's a serious baseball guy, but he had just such a great personality that in those games, in those moments, he was able to really carry that broadcast too.
And just think of the history that he had that we could tap into. Mm-hmm. And he linked the generations, because people have been around here a long time, like you have and I have. I moved here in 79. But as you know, there are people that went to the first game the A's ever played in 68. And those championship clubs from 72, 3, and 4 left such an indelible mark on the Bay Area and the East Bay fan base that, yeah, if you're looking to kill some time, what was it like catching Vida Blue? We could spend forever talking about Catfish Hunter or those great ALCS games or the World Series or his home run off Don Sutton in the World Series in 74. So the fact that he could kind of link the generations that way and bring that historical perspective, I think was something that we can't get that back. We're going to miss it.
It's a huge void, and we're all going to feel it more when baseball starts up again. We've been speaking with Ken Korak, voice of the A's, longtime colleague and good friend of Ray Fosse. Ken, this is so fresh. We really appreciate you taking the time to share these insights with us. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Rick. Thanks for having me. Thanks for the memories.